I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. And we say yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for His promise will endure. Joy's gonna be my strength. Though sorrow may last for the night, the joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading. Joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord.
Come on, church.
We say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord.
Yo.
Your glory. Worship the Lord, would you? Hallelujah. Come on, fill the atmosphere with the word of praise right now. Come on, all over this building. Father, we bless you. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. Your word says he sent his word and healed them, God. We thank you, God, that tonight healing is coming, Lord. Tonight healing is coming. Lord, we thank you, God. Thank you for the people who've gathered tonight. Pray, God, that you would have your way among us today. Have your way among us. Father, we bless our guests tonight. I pray your rich anointing upon him, God, moves forward in what you have planned for your people tonight. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise one more time, would you? Praise the Lord. You can be seated in his presence. We're glad you're here tonight. It's a Wednesday night, not a typical Wednesday night, because we're all dispersed in different rooms doing different things. But tonight you're here. We welcome those who are guests among us. Pastors and ministers. If you're a minister and a pastor, I know I invited a couple of you, the Whites and Pastor David Ray. I see Pastor Travis there, Pastor Tom Temple, others. If you would, just kind of stand up and wave your hand at us. We appreciate that. Give the ministers a hand, would you? Praise God. Praise the Lord. So glad you're here. We don't want to waste any time tonight. How many of you want to get on the business of what God has tonight? Come on. No time wasted. All right. Would you welcome to Ahoskie, North Carolina, Jim Hockaday? Would you give him a welcome carpenter shop tonight? God bless you.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. How many enjoyed the worship? Just having a chance to lift your hands and give God praise. Amen. Amen. Well, my wife and I are really delighted to be with you, and we've been over in Murfreesboro and just really enjoying ourselves so very much the last 4 or 5 days. And so we're just thankful here at the end of our little trip that's out to just be with you here. And I just thank you very much, Pastor Wallace, for allowing me to come. This is a real blessing. This is my wife, Erin, and if you'll just stand for a second, hon. It's always great to have her with me. We've been in the ministry probably some 35 years, and so most of that time I travel on my own. And then, of course, once our kids got old enough to leave the house, and then, of course, the strange thing is you get them to leave and then they come back, and then they'll leave again. And so now even the youngest one, she's engaged, and Erin will be going tomorrow from Raleigh down to South Carolina to just help her shop and get ready for, you know, the wedding and all in June. And I'll head back to Colorado, to Castle Rock, Colorado. So just a little our history. We spent probably most of our time, especially most of our time in ministry, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's where the Lord led us out to go to school many years ago at Rhema Bible Training Center that was out there, Kenneth Hagin's ministry. And it didn't take long by being out there until actually we started traveling with the crusade team with Brother Hagin, and travel all over the country. What an opportunity to be with a man of God and watch the many wonderful things take place in the meetings. Amen. Wonderful things. And of course, you just grow and develop And then we took, after about 7 years of that, we went ahead and were over the prayer and healing center back there at the ministry. And at that time, that seemed to be kind of in the heyday of the ministry. You'd almost have about 1,000 students in the first year and 1,000 in the second year, so you'd have a couple thousand students. And we'd end up having 300-400 students in the prayer school alone, just so excited about Jesus. I mean, if you got the preach on you even just a little bit, they'd take off running. We ended up having to tell them which way to run just so we didn't have any accidents. Amen. If you came to prayer school, you knew you were going to run to the right if you were going to run. Amen. And they would. They'd just take off running, just enjoying Jesus, dancing, lifting their hands and shouting. What a great atmosphere and a time of prayer that we had. So it's just some wonderful things that we've been exposed to, and just are so delighted to be able to bring some of even those thoughts and some of those wonderful anointings even to the room here tonight. So let's agree together as we pray that from this moment on, healing will begin to just manifest right here in the room. I already know a few things that the Lord's going to do tonight as some starters, and we'll get to that in just a little bit, but let's just thank Him right now, okay? Father, I just thank You for this building. I thank You for these pastors. Father, I ask You to just so highly anoint and bless and touch these pastors from this moment on. Lord, I just believe that their ministries will just absolutely just continue to flourish. Father, I thank You for bringing so many people into this building where they can get touched by Jesus. And Lord, tonight, those that are here, we just give You praise that from this moment on, healing will begin in their bodies. I don't care if there's cancer, it'll die. Some other type of disease, it'll disappear. I thank You, Lord, that bones and muscles and joints will be healed and set free. We give You praise tonight, Lord God, that the hearing will open up and the eyes will see. I thank You, Lord God, the sinuses will be made well. I give You praise tonight, Lord, that there's someone that's had intestinal problems. Those problems will all disappear before this evening is over. We'll give You praise, Lord, for doing many things beyond what we could even think and imagine. And of course, that's the scripture that we pray and we believe in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. I appreciate your help. Amen. I love having the piano in the background. I almost just kind of keep that going the whole night. But we brought a few things out there just at the desk right outside of the doors. There is it a welcome desk? The welcome center. And so there's a few things that we have there. I don't mind sharing with you what I share everywhere I go about product. You know, some people think, well, there's the evangelist trying to make money. No. You know, we don't have much left because everybody bought everything, you know, over there in Murfreesboro. But with the few things that we have a few books left. We have some of these flash drives left. We've got a couple of cassettes called Intimacy. When I was on Sid Roth's show, it's all about praying in other tongues. That's just $5 for like 6 CDs. I know that's a little bit old school anymore. Now everything's moving to these flash drives and USBs and everything. This right here is called What is Reality? And it's just a series about connecting with God on a daily basis. Amen. I love when Paul said, pray without ceasing. Because prayer, really, in its essence, is interaction with God. Prayer isn't about just you petitioning Him. It's about God talking with you. Amen? So, really, you could say, have interaction with God without ceasing. I like that. Because that means then you're keeping Him on your mind by including Him in on everything that you're doing. And that's when you'll begin to see increase where the things of the Spirit will become very real to you. You know, we're fighting in a world. We know that. Paul talked about that in Galatians, that big fight about the flesh and the world. Ever since Adam messed up, you know, he got removed from the garden where it was very simple and very easy to connect from your spirit to God out into a very hostile world where now you're doing all the things you're doing just to stay alive, and all the things you're doing are mostly of your flesh. So we've got to have some means of being able to become aware of the presence of God so that you can begin to connect. And when I say connect, it's no different than the lights are on because wires are connected. You know, God's here. You're here. But are we connected? And that's where we want to stay, in a place where God's so real to us. So that's what that series is all about. This book right here says, Where Does God Fit In? Kind of an appropriate title for the day we're living. People don't actually allow Him to fit in very, very many places. We're so busy. We've got so many things to do. so many places to go, and you can get there faster now than you've ever thought of getting there before. Amen? You know, years and years and years ago, people would grow up and then die in that same community that they were born. Nowadays, you can fly all over the world in just seconds. Well, it's a very interesting time we're living in. And so where is God included? And so these are some really good thoughts about Gideon and how the angel of the Lord was standing right in front of him and he didn't even know that it was the angel of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? What's the possibility even in our lives? Excuse me. In our lives, the same thing is true, that God's right there before us and maybe we're not recognizing some things. So what you don't recognize, you don't participate in. I want to recognize God. How about you? Amen. Turn your Bibles over to Colossians in chapter 3 tonight. We won't take a whole lot of time. We'll jump right into some things here because I know the Lord wants to heal some folks, and that's something that has been a part of our ministry for all these 35 years. The Lord sent us out 3.5 years ago to Castle Rock, Colorado, kind of right between Denver and Colorado Springs, right on I-25. And the reason why he sent us out there is to start a healing center, which is something we've started. But, of course, we're taking one step at a time until it begins to grow and then begins to multiply. So right now, we're just 2 weeks out of every month, 3 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Eventually, when we have our own place, it'll be every single week. We'll be preaching twice a day, and then we'll have a five-hour period of time that'll be open for people to come and just get hands laid on them. Now, one thing that God's made available for us, and I don't want to wait too long before I take advantage of this, but we're believing within this next year we'll be able to start moving on this. He sent us a couple of doctors that have perfected a laboratory where they have all of their doctors that do all the diagnosis of what's going on with the lab results down in Atlanta, Georgia. There's 10 doctors. And he's going to set us up so that we can have a laboratory attached to the healing center. We're going to prove everything. Prove that God's healing. Prove that the cancer just left. Now, last night, we were looking at a woman that had tumors in her body, and we sent her out, and by the time she came back in, all those tumors that she could detect and feel had disappeared. She had a little pinky that had been damaged and broken, and the hand had been broken, and right there, while that first part of the miracle manifested, all of a sudden, you could see her heart open up, and all of a sudden, that pinky became perfectly normal. It went from there to she walked like a snail's pace to go out and come back in. She jumped right off that chair. She took off running with me. God healing her one step after the other. Well, you know, you can say that and we can rejoice because we know we're not trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. We can believe that, but the world won't believe that. But you get the doctor's report and then all of a sudden they're going to have to believe it. On my phone right now, I've got a picture of a little Down syndrome boy that we ministered to 3 or 4 times and the parents took a hold of that healing. And over the course of 8 months, they just decided their boy was well. That was the end of the story. The hardest part they had was convincing all of their family to leave him alone because they knew their boy was well. And after 8 months, one morning, the Holy Ghost said to that woman called, her name was Nicole, her little boy's name is Andrew, said, take a picture of Andrew. She said, well, why would I take a picture? He said, just take a picture. And she took a picture of Andrew because she'd already determined he's well. Then she saw him as well. And when she took that picture, we have that picture versus the old picture. And he's got a completely different boy. He looks just like his mother. They took him in and the doctors checked him out and said he was at that particular point over 85% cognitively perfect. Now he's over 90%. He's back in normal school. Now we got that picture on our phone. So you start putting stuff like that up on the internet and show the proof of it, the blind eye that's completely healed. Amen. The disease that's gone, the cancer that died. Well, now we're going to start shaking a nation. And I just ask you to believe with us because it's not too big of an undertaking. The Lord's going to do it. You know, if he called you, I'm pretty persistent on, well, then you can go ahead and do it, Lord. I'll get in there and I'll preach and I'll lay hands on, but you're going to have to do it. Otherwise, I don't want to stress out. Working with the sick, Brother Hagin used to say years ago, he said, you got to be careful. You have to take some time off. He said, the sick can pull the life right out of you. I remember one time he made this comment. He said, if you can get the sick to believe in Jesus in just a very fraction of the way that they're going to pull on you, you can get them healed every time. It's time to see Jesus in the church again. Amen? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that to say Jesus isn't in this church. I'm just saying the church as a whole, it's time to see the results of Jesus in the church. Amen. I know you agree with me on that. So tonight I want to share some things from a little different perspective. So I want to twist your mind just a little bit to see some things, but it's all in the Word, and you can go ahead and just judge for yourself. But let's start over here in the Message Bible, Colossians chapter 3. 1-4. It says, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Well, that sounds pretty good. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Come on, you remember what Paul said. He said, don't look at the things which are seen, look at the things which are unseen. The things that are seen, they're constantly changing, but the things that are unseen, they are eternal in the heavens. See, we've got to get good. We've got to become skilled with the unseen things. That's what Paul said over in Hebrews in chapter 5, where he talked about that you, by practice, you can become exercised to discern with your senses what is good and what is evil. And in that passage of Scripture, he talked about, he said, you're not skilled in the word of righteousness. You're unskilled. So what was he trying to say? You need to be skilled in the things of God. This is a skill. A skill can be developed. It doesn't have to be a talent. It's something that you can step after step after step become good at, whether you're talented or not in this area. Some people, you'll see that they're just a little bit more tuned in to things that are spiritual, but if you'll just step by step, you with consistency, you can become very tuned into the voice of God, the presence of God, and get answers to your prayers. Come on, what is our Father glorified by? John chapter 15, 7 and 8, much fruit. If we don't have answers to our prayers, you see, that's saying something about our connection. When you start getting answers to your prayers, you start seeing God do things for you everywhere and anywhere, and you've got testimony to share with somebody instead of a scripture that you memorized. Wait a minute. I didn't get enough amens on that. You know, you didn't say amen. Come on, somebody, think about this. You go up to somebody today in the day we're living in and give them a scripture, and they'll give you the universal sign of you can head the other direction. The world's not playing with us anymore. They're not tolerating Christianity anymore. But you walk up to them and you tell them what Jesus has done for you and lay your hands on them and heal them, and all of a sudden things are going to change. And this is what we're talking about. Come on, from God's perspective. Let's go on and finish this verse of Scripture right here. And it says this, don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorb the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. And then it says this, see things from His perspective. Come on, let that be encouragement for you tonight. How does God see things? What is reality? I remember the lady that had a girder that went from her chin down to her chest. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but it was kind of like a bullfrog. When you see a bullfrog, you know, and they blow out their chest like that, it was kind of like that. It just bowed like that right down to the chest. She's laying on the ground. I knelt next to her and put my hand on it, and it's like an unseen one took a pin and popped that, and I watched that thing and just disappear. So now you have to ask yourself the question, what is reality? Is that girder reality? Well, it can't be the ultimate reality. It has to be some type of false reality because it disappeared in a heartbeat. Yet before the power of God touched that, that woman might have thought that was reality. See, that's why the Holy Ghost came. He's the Spirit of truth. Truth means reality. He's come to show us what's real from God's perspective. When you see things like God sees things and act on what God sees, you'll have what God has. Let's go on a little further. It says, your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too. The real you. The glorious you. What's he talking about? The man on the inside is the real you. You can't look in the mirror and look at your flesh and come up with a good determination about your life and your future. Because your flesh may be telling you all kinds of things that are contrary to the guy on the inside who is renewed day by day. God's living in you. That's the great mystery of the church that Paul talked about in Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, what's he doing in there? Is he just, you know, tagging along until we get to heaven? Come on, I remember in my childhood days in my church, you know, singing that song almost every Sunday. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Because see, life was terrible. We weren't preaching any victory. We were preaching defeat. We couldn't wait to get out of here. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. We couldn't wait to get to heaven. Why? Things were tough. Now, we believed that grace would save us, but we didn't believe that grace would perfect us. And this is something that we've got to realize. There's a real you on the inside. So, from this, let's go on over to Exodus chapter 15. I want to talk about perspective for a moment. And this is where it gets a little dicey here. I want you to see some things. And this is very, very, very important. Perspective is everything. It says, and of course, this is a passage about the Lord giving a covenant to the children of Israel called Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that heals you. And we start in verse 22, and this is after, of course, the children of Israel have gone through the Red Sea and all of Egypt's army, Pharaoh's army, has drowned in the sea. And it says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea and then went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, they named it Marah, which means bitterness. And all the people complained against Moses. What's new, right? Saying, what shall we drink? So Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and ordinance for them, and there he tested them, saying, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Now, if you look at that in the original language, it means I will permit none of the diseases that have come upon the Egyptians. I will not permit them to come upon you. God's not the author, and God's not in the business of putting any disease on anybody. Oral Roberts got persecuted years ago because he said God was a good God and the devil was a bad devil. I think we've grown since then. That was back in the 60s. But think about it. People got mad because he was saying God's a good God. Well, do you want God to be a bad one? If he is to you, I change gods. Because God's inherently 100% good. He doesn't create any evil. Well, God took somebody or God did this. See, people got all kinds of warped ideas because they don't know the Word of God to realize God's not putting anything on anybody. God's trying to do something right here tonight to heal and set people free so that you can, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, you know what? You're going to get healed anyhow. When you go home, you can figure out whether you like it or not. And if you want to turn it back in next Sunday, then turn it back in. But you'll have a whole week to enjoy healing. You say, well, you're kind of a smarty pants. I only got one night. Amen. I'm headed back to Colorado tomorrow. Amen. If you don't like me, well, amen, you won't have to think about me again. But we're going to get you healed. So think about this. And then it says, for I am the Lord that heals you. Now, of course, all the shadows and types are in here. What did the Lord show him? A tree. What does a tree represent? It represents the cross. Where was he to put that tree? In the water. What does the water represent? The people. And what took place when he put the tree in the water? There was sweetness instead of bitterness. What is that? That's salvation. So you've got all your types and shadows right here. But I want to tweak this just a little bit because I want to ask you a simple question. He made a covenant of healing, and yet what did he heal? If we'll go over to Psalm 105 and 37 for just a moment, I'll let you get there for a second. This is a good question here tonight. What did he heal? He made a covenant. I am the Lord that heals you, but what did he heal? Can anybody tell me? Did he heal the people? No. He healed the water. You say, how come he healed the water? Well, we'll find right here in Psalm 105:37, when the children of Israel were instructed to put that sacrifice, that lamb, on that Passover, when that death angel was going to go through, they put that blood over the top of the door and down the side posts, and that death angel was not able to get in because the blood made room for the glory. So in other words, when that death angel came by that had the blood on the doors, he was looking at somebody, looking at him, and he passed right on by. Now, when they slept that night, they were sleeping in that glory. Because when they awoke the next day, every sickness, every disease instantaneously departed from them. Come on, they're working in the mines. They're working hard labor. You don't think there's a bunch of arthritis people bowed over, hardly able to walk, and they got up in the morning and all of a sudden they stood straight up? Tumors hanging off of people, they just disappeared. Eyes that were blind, they just opened up. Bones, muscles, joints healed. Infection, disease, instantly gone. That's what this says right there. He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there were none feeble among them. Why? Because the blood on the doorpost represented their salvation. And in your salvation, there is healing. The word sozo means healing and deliverance and soundness and safety. There's so much to what God has done for us. And really, if you think about it, the greatest majority of those who even believe in healing are trying to get something that Jesus actually already purchased for you. So when they marched through the desert, they weren't sick. There was no one bowed over with pain and affliction. They marched out healed as can be. And guess what they also marched out with? And I know some folks will balk against this, but it's right there. It says they marched out with the silver and gold of Egypt. Why do you think Pharaoh got so mad to go after them? 3 days with paper plates and plastic spoons. He turned to his advisors and said, where's my gold? And he said, well, you gave it all to Israel. He said, no way. He said, yeah, we've got it right here. You signed it. Well, let's go get them. And they're going as fast as they can to get them. And God delivered them from Egyptian army. Come on, think of the provision of the Lord and his goodness. Now, they get to the water of Marah. And if they were to drink that water, would it not have made them sick? Yeah, it was bitterness. It would have made them all sick. So what was the covenant? To remove something that would make you sick because you're already well. I just have to share that with you because perspective's everything. If you're trying to get God to give you something in the middle of a battle where you feel the sickness and you feel the disease, you're at a really loss of position because you don't have your victory, you're trying to get it, and you don't feel good enough to actually go out there and get it. But if you've already got a victory and you can see something is coming to try to take away from you what you know you have, now that's a completely different position. That's a position of strength. Because at that particular point, you don't actually have to accept the thing that's trying to come and take something away from you that you know you have. So many of us are forfeiting our right to walk in divine healing because we actually believe too much in this earthly existence of sickness and disease. If you want to know whether or not what I'm preaching to you tonight is accurate, then you have to look at the ministry of Jesus and see if Jesus actually ministered this particular way. And if he did, then the revelation is sound. If he didn't, then it's probably not. Because it says right here, I am the Lord that heals you. Now that Lord is Jesus. He is the healer. And if we go over to the scriptures to try to find something that helps us with this, well, you can find it real easy right over in what? Isaiah chapter 53. I'm going to turn there right now. Isaiah chapter 53, 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. Well, brother, someone would say that's spiritual healing. No, spiritual healing is getting saved. Come on, don't get quiet on me now. This isn't a Presbyterian church now. This is Pentecost. We run, we shout, we dance, we praise the Lord. You say, well, we don't do that in this church. Well, people think you do. So if you don't, you ought to start. Everybody needs a good shout every once in a while. You know, there's all kinds of detergents that you can work with, you know, to get your clothes clean. But every once in a while, you need to use Shout It Out. Amen? Notice what this says here. It says, by his stripes we were healed. What did he do? He took our infirmity. He bore our sickness. Now, Jesus actually believes he did that because he's got stripes on his back to prove it. So you could argue with him and say, how come you didn't heal me? He had to turn around and show you I've already healed you and it's got your name on it. Now, this is an interesting paradox here because people are bound by the flesh. Remember, the beginning of our perspective is to see the real you. The real you. Now, there's nothing about this world that we live in that's going to help you to find the real you. It's always going to help you to find your flesh and your emotions and your intellect. But it's not going to help you to locate your spirit, because in your spirit is all the victory. That's where Jesus lives. Amen? I mean, one of the greatest things that could help you in life is to walk around talking to yourself that I am a spiritual being. I possess a soul and I live in a body. Amen. Don't let that body rule you. You're a spiritual being. That body was always supposed to be the tag along. I hope you know that. Amen. God, when he made man, man was connected to God through his spirit, and his intellect was charged by the relationship that God had with man through the spirit. In other words, think about your intellect and your knowledge coming from God and that spiritual connection. Now, what's your body going to do if your spirit is connected to God and your mind has been trained by your spirit and by God? What's your body going to do? It's going to be perfectly healthy. What did Jesus do? He took our infirmity and bore our sickness. What does it seem like we're seeing? A pattern here where he wants to remove the thing that could make you sick because your salvation already healed you. Now, that's the mindset of our Father. Well, brother, I don't know if I believe that. Well, it's right there in Scripture, so you're wrong if you don't. And if you don't believe that, you'll always be fighting from the wrong side to try to get something God's already given you. Come on, the old-timers. E.W. Kenny used to say it this way. Years and years ago, he said Jesus always encouraged people to believe. The Apostle Paul encouraged people to act. Well, what do you mean? What's the difference? Well, under the old covenant, they did not have the blessing. They had to perform perfectly, make sacrifices to be somewhat worthy to get a blessing. So they had to believe unto what they were going to receive. Believe you receive and you shall have. That's old covenant. New covenant, you already have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, and all things that pertain to life and godliness are yours. It's in the package of redemption. And if it's yours, then you need to act on it. So Kenyon saw that and said way back in the day, he said people that already have something need to act on it. People that don't have it need to believe for it. And that's the ministry of Jesus versus the ministry of Paul. On the other side of the cross, praise the Lord, we can act our salvation. We can run to the battle with full assurance that we've got the victory. You don't have to wait on somebody to pray for you, praise the Lord. This is the beauty of the new covenant. Jesus now becomes the connection for everyone. He's the mediator between God and man. Everyone can secure every blessing God has given you through the relationship with Christ. And if it doesn't seem like it in the moment, that means absolutely nothing. Why? Because the things which you see are subject to change. Come on, let's just be honest for a second. If there's a cancer in your body, doctors say you've got 40 days to live. Well, that cancer's going to change. If it kills you, it doesn't jump on someone else. It dies with you. I don't know if you've ever thought of this, but if you want to go find disease, you go to a hospital. It's full of disease. If you want to go someplace you don't have to worry about getting it, go to a cemetery, for crying out loud. Do what? Well, yeah, a cemetery. Everybody's dead. And if they're dead, then the thing that killed them is dead with them. I usually don't go on until people like the last thing I said. So we may have to stay here a while. Folks, come on, reason with me for just a second. What have we been through in the last year and a half? I mean, fear has been pumped into us from every outlet there is available. And I don't know, but the Bible seems to indicate that fear is a spirit. In a sense, you could almost say even the church has worshiped the devil in the last year and a half. What do you mean by that? Because we're just continuing to stoke the flame of fear in people, and that's something that comes from the enemy. To be afraid. Come on, didn't James cover this? Let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. He's unstable in all his ways. He's like the waters. He's up one moment, down the next moment. I believe, now I don't believe. I'm afraid, now I'm not afraid. Come on, you can't live that way. Something has to be so concrete and absolute to give you the right to step beyond yourself. You know what you can't do within yourself. I mean, your medicine cabinet may be stocked for a rainy day just in case something comes and you start taking all those pills or you start taking all that stuff you put in there and you still don't feel any better. Now what are you going to do? See, you can get to your limitation really, really quickly. But there's something about what God does that has to be so absolute and concrete to give you the confidence to step beyond yourself. I like one translation of Hebrews chapter 11 that says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In the Distilled translation, it says, now faith is betting your life on the unseen realities of God. Now, I like that because that challenges me when I'm standing right at the very edge in the precipice of my destruction to step right out there and challenge the devil. Don't run. He's a liar. And a liar from the beginning, which means if he says that he's going to kill you, why don't you ask him how come he hasn't already done it? Amen. You're gonna get sick, which means what? He's a liar. You're really, really healthy. Hey, man, are we all still here tonight? I'll look at my watch, make sure everybody didn't go home already. It's 7:59. Is 8 o'clock the dinner bell when we got to be done? Come on, somebody. Let's stay a few more moments and see some of this. Look at what Jesus did with the scripture I just read. Over there in Matthew chapter 8, 16 and 17, it says, when the evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmity and bore our sickness. Now, what does that sound like? That sounds just like Jehovah Rapha. What do you mean? He removed the bitterness in the water so the people could drink and continue to remain healthy. God has an amazing advantage. He doesn't live in our time frame. He doesn't wonder whether or not he has enough time because he actually encompasses time. He encompasses the past at the same time he encompasses the future. The way you know where you were yesterday and how real it is, he knows where he is tomorrow, and it's just as real as what yesterday was to you. If you're connected to somebody like that, you can bet the farm. You know that phrase out here, don't you? I mean, there's farms everywhere. You can bet the farm. What do you mean? All your chips can go in on somebody who already has been there where you're going, has already rigged and fixed it on your behalf, removed things that would cause you destruction and cause you difficulty, and he loves you so much, you can count on the fact that he's faithful and his compassions and mercies are new every morning. This is what causes us to be so dangerous to the enemy, is we don't just take what we see as the final information. Everybody else does. They're fearful. They're running to and fro, and they have nothing to hold on to but what the news media is telling them. And then here's the church, like rock solid, walking right into the enemy's camp, fearless because God's on our side. I'm telling you, people, you may not like what I'm getting ready to say, but I'm going to say it anyhow. We can preach Jesus, we just don't live him very well. Somebody's intestines are being made perfectly whole in this place right here. And I don't know if you haven't had your favorite food in a long time, but after we lay hands on you, you can go out and eat whatever you want to eat, and you'll be just dandy and perfect. There's somebody here been dealing with allergies and dealing with sinus problems. Somebody's had some type of a cough that just seems to linger and not go away. That's coming out of you tonight. There's multiple individuals in here that are walking in stress. And if you have paid attention to medical journals, you know that stress is the precursor for some type of disease or sickness. And we're going to get rid of that tonight, too. Circulation is changing here tonight. Just like in our last meeting. One night we said, you know, someone, neuropathy, it's coming back. We ministered to a guy before he left. He shook hands with the patient, and he goes, I can feel my hand. I couldn't feel my fingers. I just shook hands. I could feel my hand. That all came back. Circulation is changing here tonight for some of you. Now, those are just a few things of what God wants to do. Folks, are you with me tonight? Why are we preaching this truth kind of like a wild man? To get this point across. There's healing inside of you. It's brewing. We don't have to put up with what's going on in this world. Just because everybody else does doesn't mean you go along. And that's exactly what the devil's hoping for, is the group concept. Well, everybody's going that way. That must be the right way. Not so. That's right. If you don't feel like you're actually going against a current that seems so strong and you have to put effort into the direction you're going, most likely you're going with the wrong current. Because there's nothing about this world that's going to help you find Jesus. Nowadays, people can't even find whether or not they go to a men's room or to a woman's room. You usually can find that out when you get up in the morning and dress yourself. And if people can't even figure that out today, we need help. Thank God we've got Jesus. He never changes. Amen. I tell you what, the church is going to learn how to rise up and literally stand their ground in the day of which we are living. And this is the time for that to begin to happen. Just a couple more thoughts. You know, Jesus worked like this constantly. Well, what do you mean? Think of what he said to the man with the withered hand. Did he say, I'm going to heal you? Or did he say what? Stretch out your hand. Why would he say, stretch out your hand? Jesus is seeing beyond the problem to see that he's already got a victory. What did he say to the 10 lepers? Go show yourself to the priest. See, that's before they physically changed. He already saw them well. Everything about the ministry of Jesus backs up, I am the Lord, which heals you, which is to remove from you the obstacle so that you can remain in health. We're not supposed to get healed all the time. We're supposed to walk in divine healing. Divine healing is different than being healed. It means you can't remember the last time you were sick. Thank you for all your enthusiasm. Praise the Lord. I'll be done here in just a few minutes. Amen. The pastor did show me before the service a door of exit just in case I had to get out real quick. Who's that individual who's been really struggling with your intestines? Is that you, brother? Your wife's pointing at you. I mean, they have a way of doing that. Amen. You want that gone? Is there anybody else that would join? Is this woman right here? You want that gone? Come on up here. My wife Erin's going to help me. Thank God for the anointing. The presence of the Lord will begin to flow like rivers of water. What do you mean? Well, there's an action to the Holy Ghost. I remember the day the Lord told me while I was preparing for all those healing services we did. During that 10 years that I did prayer and healing, I think I preached, Pastor, somewhere between 500 and 550 times a year for 10 years in a row. I mean, I met myself coming and going. Well, as hard as that was, I didn't realize the benefit of staying in that flow so much. You begin to get some things, even if you stumble over it. It wasn't that I was so bright. As you're doing it so much, God begins to download stuff, and you see things that all of a sudden make sense, and the lights go on. But I remember the day he looked at me and he said, now I want you to study verbs. I was just so happy I knew what one was. So I started studying action words concerning God, God's actions, God's works, what God does. And then scriptures like, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. All of a sudden, there it is right there. Something's going to flow. And he wanted me to meditate on that because when I lay hands on you, something's going to flow right out of me and flow right into you. And as my wife lays hands on you, I'm telling you right here, right now, whatever situation you've had, I don't care what they call it. All I'm saying right here is Jesus already sees you 100% completely whole. And what we do for you tonight is going to set you free and deliver you. Are you ready for that to happen? Because that's starting to flow in me right now. Go ahead and put your hands on her. Wow, there it comes. In the name. Amen. That's it. Real simple. Real simple. Real simple. Hallelujah. Sir, put your hands on your belly. The Lord wants to just tap. I'm going to tap your hands. He just wants to send some fire right through your intestines. But one good thing about it is you'll know even before you get home that something's changed in you. And you'll be a happy camper. See, folks, I didn't tell you my testimony. But as a 17-year-old boy, the doctor said I had Crohn's disease. Here, I'm trying to play football, go to college. And all of a sudden, I can't keep weight on. And you start suffering with that. Been through multiple surgeries. I know what it's like to go medical way, and that ain't fun. But I also know what it's like to not go the medical way, and God touch you and heal you. And that's a whole lot better. And as a result, just everybody I minister to that has stomach problems, God will heal them. Just like that. One of the reasons is what? Because I've been there, I've done that. So there's a hatred for the thing that will come to steal your life. Some people don't realize when your belly's upset, your whole life is upset. Your immune system's upset. You feel crummy all day. You can't eat. You get bloated. Pains. Discomfort. Embarrassment. That's the devil. That is not good living. But God's going to set you free right now. Hallelujah. Erin, come on. Put your hands on this man. The name, fire comes into you right now. In Jesus' name, brother. I don't care how loud that was, how crazy that was. All I know is go test it out. Years ago, remember that old song? Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I've proved him more and more. Remember that? Jesus, Jesus. Precious Jesus,
Oh, for grace to trust him more.
See, the old saints used to prove him over and over. Means what? They didn't have options. Come on, years and years ago, Mr. Cream met Mr. Ice, and the most wonderful thing happened. There was ice cream. It was like heaven shined down upon this earth and brought us the most wonderful dessert. And when that took place, we didn't know any better, so it was just kind of bland vanilla. And when there's only one flavor, how committed to your ice cream cone can you get? 100%. You don't even have to say, I'll have a vanilla ice cream cone, because that's all there is. You just say, I'll have 2 scoops, I'll have 4 scoops, I'll have 3. You know what I'm saying? And are you all in? Yeah, don't take long. You can have 50 people and go through that line just like that, because everybody's getting a vanilla ice cream cone. But Baskin-Robbins ruined that forever. Yeah, that's right. They brought 30 extra flavors, and they knew they were going to shake everything up so badly that they even had little cups with pink little spoons in there that they used for samples. Because they knew people were going to stare at all these flavors with big eyes. And our little girls, we had 3 girls, they'd sit there and they'd look and look and look and say, Daddy, I wonder what that tastes like. I wonder what that tastes like. And the girl behind the counter would say, honey, would you like a sample? And then my daughters looked at me like, this is too good to be true. They said, can we have a sample? It's like, you can have a sample. And she pulled out a pink spoon, and then they're looking at the pink spoon like, you know, lights are going on and music is playing, like, wow, I'd really like that spoon to play with my dolls. And so they scoop them out and give, that's good. And then they look at me and say, can I have another sample? You can have another sample. And then after they had about 5 spoons in their hands, like, will you choose? Yeah. And then they choose, and it would be something like this, bubble gum. And I've already got my cone almost gone. And while they're licking their bubble gum, the first thing you notice is their tongue turns blue automatically. The second thing that happened is she looks at me and says, Daddy, your cone looks really good. I said, it is. Can I have a lick of yours? See, they can't get committed about anything. There's too many options. You may not necessarily like me, but my job is being done here tonight. I'm taking away your options. If I can get you to see that there's only one thing you need, which is Jesus, you can get fully committed. Amen. That's what the old saints had. That's why they proved him, because they didn't have other options. It's either have Jesus heal you or die. Are you needing your belly healed too? You know the Lord will do it right here, right now. Amen. Do you work in the medical field? This will be really cool to be able to tell whoever you need to tell what the Lord has done for you. And when they see how amazingly you can eat anything now and you're just perfect, they're going to say, how'd that happen? What colonoscopy did you get? And how much prednisone are you taking? And how much? And you're going to say, well, actually, I got this in church. You got this in church? Put your hands on your belly. My wife will put her hand. That's it. Fire comes into you now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That'll be it. You'll leave. You'll be well, and you'll enjoy. In Jesus' name, amen. Who in here has had the problem in their sinuses? Come on, real quick. We're going to go ahead and minister a few more before we're done here tonight. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Come on up here. Anybody else? Sinuses. Now, you're going to think I'm the hitting prophet or something, you know, because we were just hitting. Listen, in certain areas, over all these thousands we've ministered to, God will have me minister certain different ways. Sometimes, very rarely, he'll tell me not to do it in the way that he's had me to do before. But unfortunately, he's not telling me that right now, so I'm going to tap these guys on the top of their head, and God's going to go into their sinuses, and he's going to set them free. Man, would you come right down here? Thank you so much. Amen? So this isn't going to be hard, not going to hurt or anything like that. But God's, that's it right there. I feel that presence come on me when I start talking. Lift your hands right now. And fire comes on you in Jesus' name. That's it right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, that's it. Fire comes. But that's it right there in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm laughing. I'm only laughing because I see something, Pastor. I see like a bomb being dropped in this church. Divine healing begin to flow from the front to the back and from the back to the front. And there'll be sermons that you'll just have to stop because God's just taken over. And you'll just want to get out of the way, get on your knees, and let him do what he's going to do. And it'll begin to happen through you, my brother, in the name, in the name. And then fire comes on you in Jesus' name. Be healed. Be free. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, somebody who in here, you got some pressure right there in your back. Some pressure in your back. And I almost want to say it's because there's been some damage to your heart, but you got pressure in your back. Ma'am, is that you? Come on, hon.
Thank you, Lord.
Watch the Lord heal this lady. My wife's going to put her hands on you. Is that okay? She puts her hand right there. Wow, that's a Jesus now. Hallelujah. No more, no more. That comes out.
Thank you, Lord.
Now check yourself real quick. Check yourself real quick. How's that all feel? Isn't that amazing? Yeah, that's good. I knew you were going to get healed instantly right there. Right there, right there, right there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallah. Now, this is another one. This is kind of different. Infection in the bladder. Who's been dealing with some of that? And this is something that I detect as the Lord, as I said that, it comes and it goes. It comes, in other words, it's like you're susceptible to it. It's not always there, but it just seems like here it comes again, and you'll end up with another bladder infection. Is that someone in this room right here? I mean, these are a little different, not something that I call out every time. But if it's you, come on forward. And if that's a little bit too personal for you, you know, just come forward anyhow. Go ahead, Aaron. Amen. Step right up here. Hallelujah. Now put your hands right on your belly like that. Aaron's going to put her hands on you. Jesus, thank you for healing her. And remove, that's it, remove. When I said remove, I felt the power of God go into you right there. Removing the very thing that would keep her from her health and her victory. In Jesus' name. And it'll not only go, it'll just never come. And that we thank you for. Amen, amen. Wow, that was really good. Really good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is anybody seeing something that's happening in here? Man, the Lord's wanting to just continue to do healings, but he doesn't need me to come here and do it. I'm telling you, some things are going to just start happening in this church. I saw that by the Spirit the moment I stepped in front of your pastor. And the Lord will use me like that at times. So it's not just, I'm not just saying it to say it. I'll see it. You say, how can you describe seeing it? It's the exact same thing that Jesus said when he said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. And he said, I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it. The more connected you are. What do you mean the more connected? The more connected means the more consistently you stay connected to God or you have interaction with him. And this is something we teach and something we practice. We've got a YouTube channel called Adventures in Grace. Why do you call it that? Because grace is everywhere. It's a dispensation, folks. We're not under the law anymore. There's grace everywhere. Have some of you ever done vacuuming in your house, and when you went to move the curtain, the light shone in, and then you realized that the air you're breathing is filled with trillions and trillions of little tiny dust particles, and you almost want to, you know, just kind of take a deep breath and not breathe? What if that represented how much grace is everywhere? Like people say, I've been seeking God for years. Well, he's everywhere, for crying out loud. How can he be everywhere and you not find him? Unless you're connected to the wrong thing. Finding God is as simple as taking the plugs out of the sockets so you've got a fresh plug to put into him. He's everywhere, folks. You don't have to seek real far to get him. He's right here. But if you're not finding him, it's because your heart is connected to something else. And this is what Paul meant by to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It wasn't just for death. It was for life. In other words, the more absent you are from being mindful of your flesh, the more your heart can connect to the Spirit. The disciples couldn't get that devil out in Mark chapter 9. What did Jesus say? Your unbelief. Well, the unbelief wasn't that they cast it out in unbelief because they'd already cast out other devils. The unbelief was they gave up when that devil didn't come out that way. You say, what do you mean? Jesus, remember the madman of Gadara and those legion of devils? That man said, what have you come to torment me before the time? For he, meaning Jesus, had said, come out of him. You mean Jesus said, come out of him to those devils and they didn't come out? Exactly. What did Jesus say next? What is your name? How many places do you see Jesus saying, what is your name, to get a devil out? Did Jesus tell the disciples in the Great Commission, you'll cast out devils when you get their name? No, no. So this is a particular situation. How did Jesus know to get the name? Because he's connected to the voice of his Father. If it didn't come out the normal way, there is another way to get it out. And the disciples went to cast that devil out, and it didn't come up, and then they gave up. That was the unbelief. And what did Jesus say? This kind comes out by prayer and fasting. You don't pray and you don't fast the devil out, but fasting and prayer will connect you to God while you're turning your back to the world. It's the same absent from the body to be present with the Lord mindset. I don't know about you. There are some fun things in the world, you know. I mean, you're going to think I'm absolutely nuts, but I love playing golf. And of course, now we're in Colorado, and I won't see a golf course until the end of April. And even then, our daughter got married, you know, a few years ago, and we thought we were for sure safe, you know, May 23rd. And May 21st, we had 8 inches of snow. So go figure. So I was put up out there at that Beachwood golf place in one of those you know, nice homes right across there. So I played every day, Monday, Tuesday, and I played in the rain today. I've got a rain outfit and I'm out there playing in the rain. The only one on the course. I know that sounds crazy, but I enjoy that. There are some things that we can enjoy today, but for the most part, you don't want to connect to this world anymore. It's gone crazy. But you do want to connect to the peace, the Prince of Peace, to the joy of the Lord, to his health and his victory. Amen. And the Holy Ghost. Amen. Come on, just before we're done, I know Pastor has some claws. We're going to lay hands on those claws. Is there anyone in here that would say, before we leave tonight, I want hands laid on me to get rid of this sickness or to get rid of this disease or this pain? Would you come forward right now? We'll minister to you here in just a moment. Anybody in this room? Thank you, sir, for coming. What did you need, sir?
My muscles and my joints hurt a lot.
Your muscles and joints? Is it kind of like a fibromyalgia type thing?
It's a medicine type.
Medicine type thing? Yeah? Yeah. Are you on medicine for something else then?
Yeah.
You need that healed too?
Of course.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if the medicine makes your joints hurt, you might as well get healed of what you're taking the medicine for.
That would be good too.
That'd be good. Amen. Well, the good thing is the Lord already knows that. All we got to do is just put that anointing in you. Now, I heard Brother Hagin say it like this one time, empty hands on empty heads. You see people praying for people and then they never get healed. Empty hands on empty heads. When you put your hand on somebody, you're not just putting your hand on somebody. I'm transmitting something out of me to them. When we first got married, my wife liked to get real close because she's cold. Now, she's not as cold, you know, you don't have to get as close. Why? Because she's looking for a little extra heat. See, we transmit that one to the other. Why? Because we're alive. When I felt her feet the first third night of our marriage, you know, and I felt how cold they were, first thing I said was, no one can be alive with feet that cold. Amen. Are you sure you had your footies on? She said, I had them on. I said, well, good Lord, have mercy, you know. In other words, when your body's generating heat, it'll come out of you. Well, God's generating heat in us, and I'm conscious of that. So when I put my hand on you, God is going to touch you and kill that disease and drive it out of your body. And the coolest thing will be instantly, within 5 seconds, and it always works better if you can count in German. Can you count to 1 to 5 in German? Shoot. Okay. Well, we got a problem. I said that one place, and the guy started counting to 10 and 20 in German. I said, well, you ruined the whole thing, you know. You weren't supposed to be able to do it. But I'm going to count to 5, and within 5 seconds, you will not have a pain in your body.
Amen.
And you'll know that he took care of the problem that would have then made you take medicine to cause the pain. There it is right there. And then it's, thank you, Lord. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You watch this man get up. I'm a false prophet if he doesn't have a healing in his body. And you see when he gets up, he doesn't have a pain. You watch. You say, brother, what would happen if he didn't? Well, then I ought to quit. Go home. Going home tomorrow anyhow. Hallelujah. Lord, I just thank God for the healing that comes as it's stored into a handkerchief like a storage battery of Holy Ghost power. Laid on barren,
yes, Lord.
He'll wake up and the power will set him free.
Yes.
And his body will know it instantly, yes, that Jesus is his healer. We've got a covenant that God made on purpose to show us that he is our healer. And the thing that that covenant will do is to remove every obstacle that stands in the way of our health and our well-being. And I give God praise right now in the wonderful name of Jesus that there is a wonderful healing. Come on, everybody, as we're closing down, lift your hands for just a moment. Father, thank you so much. I want this gentleman to get up because, brother, it's going to be pretty fun to feel your body right now. Go ahead and bend and move. And that's pretty good, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen. It got a little joy, which is kind of like laughing gas. Amen. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Amen. The same way you don't have a pain in your body, he smote that disease or that trouble that you were taking the medicine for. He just healed your shoulder too. Yeah. Isn't that awesome? Move that shoulder around. Isn't that awesome? When's the last time you did a push-up? Do a push-up right now. That's awesome. I was thinking for a second you were going to get on your knees and do a girl push-up, but you did a real one. That's awesome. Good. Good on you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. One more time. Father, thank you so much for these people, for their hearts, for their love for you, for this pastor, for this church, for all that you're doing here, and Lord, for the things that I saw that will begin to just fall in this congregation. We'll give you praise and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, thank you, Lord. Come on, give the Lord praise tonight, would you? Praise God. Well, I need a couple of ushers. If we could get a couple of ushers here to help us and hold a bucket there at the back door. Let's sow into the ministry of Jim and Aaron Hockaday. I think Aaron and Joy are related. Joy's got the same feet, man. She's got the same feet. Yeah. So you guys, if you would, just stand at the back door. If you're writing a check, just make it to CSIC. We'll issue him a check to his ministry. What's your website, Jim? JimHockaday.com. Jim Hockaday, HockaDay, JimHockaday.com. I listened, once we booked him through Eric Smith, I went and visited some of the things, incredible ministry things that God has placed in your hands. So we thank God for you. And let's just pray for him tonight. You and Aaron, please stand tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for this couple. I thank you, God, for the things that you've deposited in their spirit concerning the healing center. We call it done in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for those doctors. Thank you for the provision. Thank you for the equipment. Thank you, God, for the staffing. Thank you for the resourcing. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it all, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, let it be done. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord praise for a healing center. Can you imagine going to a healing center and then going over to the x-ray room to prove that what God just did for you is real? Come on, can you imagine that? I told him over dinner tonight, people think you're even flaky when you say, now do something that you couldn't do before. Raise that hand up a little higher, and they think, well, he's, you know, he's just looking for attention or something. No, they're looking to, like you said, the old timers proved it or and or. Come on. But we're believing God with you for all the resourcing for that center in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Go by the foyer there. There are not many books, so if you want one, you better run. Come on, you better run if you want a book. And we appreciate everybody being here tonight. God bless you for your giving, too. Make sure you give in the buckets on the way out the door. God bless you all.
Even Doug got a slice or two.
Yeah, I ate one.
Wesley.
No, that was cool.